92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show. If you're a little confused, say, that's not Gary Harris. I'm Wyatt Fulton, the brand manager here of Tide 100.9. Gary is out on assignment. He will be joining us a little bit later in the program today. At 9:30, he'll be joining us alongside Matt Coulter to talk NASCAR here on Tide 100.9. Full transparency, NASCAR is not a sport that I overly keep up with. So it's going to be really interesting to see Gary and Matt get to listen to them talk about NASCAR a little bit. May I ask Matt a couple of questions, too, about the upcoming Alabama football season? As Matt is the host, co-host of the pregame show on Tide 100.9 and 95.3 The Bear, he's also my co-host on the postgame show, the Tide postgame show, coming on 2 hours after the conclusion of the Alabama football game. Matt and I go on for 2 hours talking about Alabama, our breakdown of what happened in the game, and then in addition to that, some of the happenings around the SEC. So Matt Coulter will be joining us here at 9:30 alongside Gary Harris. We're also going to talk a little bit about Big Ten Media Days. As Big Ten Media Days is going on, Kurt Cignetti had some fiery quotes about the SEC. So I did a little bit of research, all right? That's what we do. We're going to bring facts to the table, right? Kurt Cignetti, we'll dive into that conversation here. But keep in mind, he was at Alabama from 2007 to 2010. Keep that in mind when you hear his comments a little bit later in the program. We also heard a little bit from Ty Simpson yesterday. He did a little bit of an interview, a little bit of a video with, I believe it was with his dad, who is the head coach at UT Martin. So we'll hear from Ty Simpson. And guys, to me, Ty Simpson is going to be the starting quarterback. I think it's very evident, number one, that he's the oldest guy in that room. Right, he is the most experienced. He is going into his fourth year of college football, his fourth year at Alabama, his second year in the Kalen DeBoer system. Austin Mack is entering his third season of college football. Right, he was a redshirt freshman at Washington, redshirted, came to Alabama, was a redshirt freshman last season. He's now a redshirt sophomore. And then, of course, you've got the uber talented Keelan Russell hanging out there as well in that quarterback room. Talent level wise. Talent level wise, I think Keelan Russell is number one. But when you take into account experience, right, Ty Simpson, even though none of these guys have starting reps, Ty Simpson's taken one snap during meaningful minutes in his collegiate career. He's got more than everybody else does when you look at experience, because since he's been in college football for so long. And so Ty Simpson, I think, is the guy. And it's also kind of evident from the media tour he's been doing, right? How many times have we heard Ty Simpson on, you know, speaking to the media, right? He was down at the Manning Passing Academy. I feel like that's kind of a pretty big endorsement that, hey, this might be the guy, even though we have not heard from Ty Simpson since really the end of fall ball. I think that was the last time we heard from Ty, or the end of fall camp. I think that was the last time we've heard from Ty Simpson. Of course, it was Jalen Milroe last season. We did not hear from Ty all throughout the spring practice time. So, but you look at the media tour that he's kind of been doing a little bit this offseason, and I think it is kind of Ty Simpson's job at this point. Obviously, we will not know the official answer to that question until we hear from Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer, probably the Monday before Florida State. Probably that, I think it's August 22nd or something like that, is that Monday before Florida State. We won't hear about an official answer probably until that Monday at the very earliest. I wouldn't be surprised if they run this thing until, hey coach on Wednesday night going into the Florida State game, or maybe even pregame for the Florida State game. I'm sure Pete Thamel will ruin the surprise Friday night, throwing out a tweet out there as well. But we're rocking and rolling here on the Gary Harris Show. Hour one of the Gary Harris Show is brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. Man in the ones and twos, our best guys in the building, Chase Brumfield and Reed Karch. Guys, how y'all doing today?
I'm good.
I'm doing pretty well. What's up, Wyatt?
Good to hear from you guys. Good to see you guys this morning. Let's go ahead and dive into the conversation here. Kurt Cignetti had some interesting comments about the SEC, had some interesting comments about his scheduling philosophy, right? Kurt Cignetti, if you forgot, the Indiana Hoosiers, who had a little bit of a question mark around their schedule for the 2024 season. You go back and look at who Indiana played in 2024. Their non-conference schedule was FIU, Western Illinois, and Charlotte. So already not a great look when you look at Indiana. But then you look at their Big Ten schedule. Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington, Michigan State, Michigan, no ranked teams. The only ranked game they played in the regular season came on November 23rd, the next to last game of the year for Indiana against Ohio State. And what did they do? They got blown out 38-15. The final score does not indicate how big of a difference that game was. They ended up beating Purdue 66-0 the next week. They get their shot into the college football playoff, and they get blasted by Notre Dame 27-17 when you look at the first round of the college football playoff here. Well, Indiana canceled a non-conference matchup with Virginia this upcoming season. They did it over the offseason here, and they replaced it with a non-Power 5 opponent. Stop me when you hear a team that is probably going to be ranked. Not might be ranked. I'm not talking fringe top 25, but I'm talking a team that you say, okay, this team is going to be ranked. I can almost guarantee this team will be ranked by the time Indiana plays them. We're going to run through their schedule here real quick. Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, Indiana State, Illinois, at Iowa, at Oregon. That's your stopping point, is at Oregon right there.
Yeah, I was just about to say at Oregon, yeah.
That's your stopping point right there. They don't play Oregon until October 11th. Their first ranked matchup is going to be on October 11th against the Oregon Ducks. And then we'll go through it again, the rest of the schedule. Michigan State, UCLA, at Maryland, at Penn State.
I think the Penn State, yeah.
Penn State's another one. Then they play Wisconsin at Purdue to round out the regular season here. So teams that are probably, quote-unquote, guaranteed to be ranked, you're looking at probably Oregon and Penn State. That's it. Two ranked opponents this upcoming season. After they got rid of a Power 5 matchup against Virginia, the Mountaineers. No, not the Mountaineers. Now I'm confused on who Virginia's mascot is. VaTech is the, it's not VaTech. It's not the West Virginia Mountaineers. I really should know this. I should have known this off the top of my head. Guys,
Cavaliers,
the Virginia Cavaliers. I apologize for that. That was just it's early for me.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's an early morning thing.
I haven't had any caffeine yet this morning. That'll change here once we get to this first break here. But Kurt Cignetti, when asked, why did you cancel that matchup with Virginia? It was a P4 opponent, Power 4 opponent. He said, we figured we would adopt an SEC scheduling philosophy. So that's a massive shot across the bow with the SEC. That is a huge shot to the Southeastern Conference here. So I did a little bit of research, all right? Marquee non-conference matchups for the SEC this upcoming season. Texas goes to Ohio State. LSU goes to Clemson. Alabama goes on the road to Florida State. You could argue Florida State's not a marquee opponent, but at least it's a road game. Alabama plays the second half of a home-and-home against Wisconsin. South Carolina plays Virginia Tech. Vanderbilt goes to Virginia Tech. Missouri plays Kansas. Oklahoma hosts Michigan. South Carolina plays Clemson. Texas A&M goes to Notre Dame. Notre Dame comes to Arkansas. Florida goes to Miami. Florida's also got to play Florida State at the end of the regular season, albeit that is at home. So what scheduling philosophy are you talking about here, Kurt? Clemson's probably going to be the number one team in the preseason polls. Ohio State's probably going to be a, if not top three, top five opponent. Florida State may be ranked just because it's early in the year. Wisconsin is a team that, okay, maybe they had a down year last year, but they're kind of that fringe top 25 team. Virginia Tech is a team that had a lot of promise last season and fell to a couple of SEC squads. Kansas, all right, whatever, fine, I'll give you that one. Michigan, Bryce Underwood, Sherrone Moore and the Michigan Wolverines. I feel like that's a pretty marquee non-conference matchup. Oklahoma welcomes them in. Again, Clemson's my favorite right now to win the national championship. And they got to play two SEC squads in LSU and South Carolina. Notre Dame, they're always in the conversation. Now they can get a bye into the college football playoff. Miami, Carson Beck, Mario Cristobal, they just got a lot. They've gotten a lot better very, very quickly over the last couple of seasons. Now, I mean, they were a game away from making the college football playoff last season. But you're telling me that you're adopting an SEC scheduling philosophy. So I went back and thought about it. I was like, okay, Kurt Cignetti spent 2007 to 2010 at Alabama. He was the wide receiver coach and the run game coordinator. I think that's what RC means, right? Run coordinator?
I believe so.
I would assume so. Regardless, he coached at Alabama for 4 years. So I said, okay, maybe he's taking it as this is who Alabama played when I was there in 2007 to 2010. So I went back and looked at the schedule. Alabama played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ranked teams during the 2007 season. Keep in mind, that was a year Alabama went 7-6. Nick Saban's first year here in Tuscaloosa. So they played 5 ranked opponents in 2007. None in the non-conference. I will give you that. 2008, Alabama opens the season against number 9, Clemson. They played number 3, Georgia at Georgia. They played number 15, LSU at LSU. Then they played number 2, Florida, fell in that game. Played number 7, Utah, fell in that game in the bowl game. Another 5 ranked opponents for Alabama in 2008. How about 2009? Opened the season against number 7, Virginia Tech. Played number 20, Ole Miss on the road. Played number 22, South Carolina. Played number 9, LSU. Played number 1, Florida in the SEC title game. And then beat number 2, Texas in the college football, the BCS National Championship. 6 ranked opponents for Alabama in 2009. Kurt Cignetti's final year at Alabama, 2010, they played number 18, Penn State. Played at number 10, Arkansas. Played number 7, Florida. Played at number 19, South Carolina. Played at number 12, LSU. Played number 17, Mississippi State. Played number 2, Auburn. Played number 7, Michigan State. That's 7. I can't do math. That's 8 ranked opponents. 8 out of the 12 regular season games for Alabama were ranked opponents, including a Big Ten team, including a marquee non-conference matchup against Penn State, who Alabama beat 24-3, by the way. So I look at his idea of, oh, I'm playing an SEC schedule. That was a massive shot across the bow of the SEC. If I'm Greg Sankey, I'm circling that quote and saying, hey, y'all got to pay attention to this because this is friggin' ridiculous, pitiful, awful that he would say something like this. It's just a completely baseless claim, too. I mean, Kurt Cignetti, again, last season, they did not play a ranked opponent until November 23rd. And they lost. And you're telling me I'm adopting an SEC scheduling philosophy. Well, Kurt, you're probably going to play at least two ranked teams this upcoming season. I could see it with Illinois. Luke Altmaier's back. They were a 10-win program last year. Brett Bielema's actually doing really good things up there in Champaign, Illinois. Iowa's always a fringe top 25 team. The defense is disgustingly good. Offense, they take the field. The offense does take the field up there in Des Moines, Iowa. But no, I mean, so you've got at least 2 ranked opponents in Penn State and Oregon. By the way, both those games on the road. And you may have to play a ranked Illinois or ranked Iowa. So I understand what you're saying about we want to focus on our conference matchups. We want to focus on our within-conference games. Because it is a tough conference. The Big Ten is absolutely a tough conference. But I look at Indiana's schedule and I say, okay, you've avoided Ohio State this year. You avoid Michigan, who's on the up and up. You avoid Washington, who's probably going to be a good team this year. Right? You avoid USC. You don't have to go out to Los Angeles and play Lincoln Charmin Soft. But I look at the schedule and I say, man, look, this is pitiful. And the Big Ten, for some reason, holds this. We are holier than thou because we play 9 conference games and you play 8. So, nana, nana, boo, boo, we're the better conference, which is not at all the case. Like, the Big Ten, they act like it's tradition in the Big Ten to play 9 conference games. You realize they haven't been doing it for a decade? They went to 9 conference games, so their conference could make more money for themselves. Keep that money within conference rather than paying, you know, rather than paying another team like Indiana State to come in and get shellacked, rather than potentially hurting your schedule by having to schedule a Tennessee, an Alabama, a Georgia, an LSU, even a Florida or South Carolina. Rather than hurting your schedule, rather than hurting your chance at making the postseason by having to schedule some marquee non-conference games, the Big Ten said, we're going to go to 9 conference games. And now they have adopted this, we are better than you mentality, because they now play 9 conference games. It's pitiful. I mean, you look at how tough the SEC is. Rhett Lashley had a quote yesterday. He said, the same 6 teams have won the SEC title since 1964. Quote, that's not a deep conference. That's top heavy to me. Well, damn, Rhett. The same 4 teams have won the ACC since that time. So what does that say about your conference? The Atlantic Coast Conference, which includes a team in Texas and 2 out in California. The hell does that say about your conference, Rhett? The hate on the SEC and a lot of it was driven by the fact that Alabama was so dominant for so long, not only with Bear Bryant, but now with, but then the Nick Saban era from 2008 until 2023. The SEC hate, largely driven by the success that a team like Alabama has had, it's just ridiculous. It's gotten to a point that we can just flat out say completely wrong things. We can just flat out lie. And everyone's going to say, hey, good job sticking up to the SEC. Hey, man, screw those guys in the Southeastern Conference. Forget them. They're the ones in the wrong. And you're sitting here absolutely lying your butt off, making 0 true claims about the SEC. But because it's a shot against the SEC, hey, way to stick up to those guys. Way to stick up to Greg Sankey. Way to stick up to Greg Byrne. Screw the SEC. No, y'all are a bunch of bold-faced liars out here, number one. And number two, you look sad doing it. It looks pitiful. The Big Ten got 4 teams into the college football playoff last season, and you know what they've spent all offseason talking about? The SEC. The Big Ten got the national champion last season. By the way, had Penn State been able to pull something off, they'd have had 2 teams in the national championship. But are we going to sit here and gripe and complain? Oh, well, you know, remember, we griped and complained in 2011 when the SEC got both teams into the national title with Alabama and LSU. We started whining and belly aching, and that's when the college football playoff discussion started. It was 2011 when Alabama and LSU made the title. Expansion talks from the 4-team era to a bigger era, more teams in the playoff, started in 2017 when Alabama and Georgia made the national title. We going to do the same thing for the Big Ten? We going to hold the Big Ten to the same standard as we are the SEC? The Big Ten had 2 teams in the semifinals, much like the SEC has had the last several seasons. We going to hold them to the same standard? The Big Ten's the problem now, right? No, it's still the SEC. You won the national championship. You had a team. You were the only team to have. You were the only conference to have a team go undefeated in the regular season. By the way, with the Oregon Ducks, they won the Big Ten. You had 2 teams in the semifinals. One being a team that everybody said cannot win a playoff game. Good job, James Franklin. But all of a sudden, instead of touting that success, instead of saying, hey, we are the Big Ten, we are here, we are now the premier conference in college athletics, it is still screw the SEC, screw Greg Sankey, they are still the problem. It's still that team in the Southeastern Conference. It's still them. Completely ignoring the fact that the SEC is the only conference that still abides by regionality in the Power 4 level. I've blown through this first break. I apologize. Philip, Tom, we're coming to you guys on the other side of this break. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Here's Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. Another arrest has taken place in that child sex and trafficking case in Bibb County. Timothy St. John was taken into custody yesterday and is the fourth person arrested in connection with child sexual exploitation in a bunker in Brent. The victims are reported to be 12 and under.
WTBC 1230 Sports Radio Studio is presented by Be Dry Alabama. Be Dry Waterproofing. Online at BeDryAlabama.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three Special.
345-1000, Patterson Law Firm. Local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representations made that quality legal services to be performed is greater than quality legal services performed by other lawyers.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
Daily routine. Find us in the vitamin aisle. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Just take those old.
Grooving right here on the Gary Harris Show. I went way over in that first segment. I apologize. Let's go ahead and jump out on the Storage Center hotlines. Let's talk with Philip. Philip, how you doing today, man?
What? How you doing, man?
I'm good. What's on your mind this morning?
You know, the Sig Daddy comments are disappointing. You know, like you pointed out, he coached at Alabama for 4 years, the beginning of Saban's tenure there, and he knows better. He knows better. You pointed out the teams that Alabama played that were ranked during that time, and I think you said it was like 22 ranked teams during that time. But the other thing that he's leaving out is there were several teams that Alabama played and barely beat that weren't ranked during that time. But that first year we barely beat Ole Miss 27-24, and Oxford we barely beat Houston at homecoming that year, and had we lost that game, we probably would not have gone to a bowl game. And that was against Kevin Sumlin. That was a huge game. And then same thing, we had a tough game against Auburn in 2009. They weren't ranked, but we went down there and you know, beat them 26-21 on that McElroy to Upchurch pass.
Mm-hmm.
So there were several games during those 4 years that he was there that Alabama had to play some really tough ball to beat some teams that weren't even ranked. And he knows better. It's just a talking point. And but the bad thing about what he says is not many people will research it. If you're some 19-year-old guy up in Indiana or Wisconsin that's just now following college football, just now getting into it, and, you know, you're not going to research that. You're just going to go by what Sig Daddy says and says, yeah, they played a bunch of terrible opponents, and that'll be it.
The issue I have with the Big Ten versus the SEC conversation is, yes, the SEC, I absolutely understand that the SEC plays what's called Cupcake Week, the week before Rivalry Week. That's when Alabama's playing Eastern Illinois the week before the Iron Bowl this year. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I've got is the Big Ten says we're so much better than the SEC because we don't play Cupcake Week. Well, damn it, Ohio State plays Akron in September.
Yeah, they just do it at different times.
You just do it in September versus us doing it in November after we've had a grueling SEC schedule. Think about Alabama's schedule when they play Eastern. By the time they get to Eastern Illinois, they'll have played at Georgia. They'll have played at Missouri. They'll have played Tennessee at South Carolina, LSU, and Oklahoma by the time they, and that's not including Vanderbilt or the two, previous non-conference matchups with Power Four opponents.
And see, and that's going to be a talking point again this year, because what's around the corner is going to be everybody jockeying for position for the playoff, and they're going to bring up that those type games, and like you say, it's just a timing issue. The SEC plays those late in the year, the Big Ten gets them out of the way and gets them done. Nobody's talking about them in November, but they are talking about the league. So. The SEC, I mean, so that's just where that goes. People aren't going to research it. They're lazy. And that's just the way it is then in society.
It absolutely is. They take the word of a guy like Kurt Cignetti. By the way, Kurt Cignetti, you mentioned the close games Alabama played against unranked opponents those couple of seasons here. Last year, the Big Ten was so bad that the closest game Kurt Cignetti played or coached against was Maryland. They won 42-28 outside of that Ohio State. Excuse me, it was Michigan. It was 20-15 outside of that Ohio State game that they lost.
Right, right. Hey, Wyatt, let me reverse course on you for a second. A few weeks ago, there was some talk on Gary's show and maybe Barry's show about a basketball prospect in Alabama that sort of somewhat was flying under the radar, but now he's beginning to really get past that low flying zone. Who is that player they were talking about?
I am not overly certain. The big name that I know here in the state of Alabama is Caleb Holt. He's from Huntsville. I don't know that that's the guy they were talking about.
It's not him. It's a different name. And I was just wondering who it was. Maybe Tom will know, but I'd like to do some research on that player. I just cannot for the life of me remember who it was.
Yeah, I gotcha. I'll see if Tom knows, and we're about to bring Gary in, so I may ask Gary here so that way we can get that answer here as well. Well, Philip, I appreciate you, man.
Let's go, man. Bye.
Yes, sir. That's Philip helping us out there. Let's go ahead and bring in Tom. Tom, how you doing today?
Hey, good. Wyatt, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
Thanks for taking my call. I remember the conversation. I don't remember the player, Philip.
Gary just texted me.
That.
It's Gage Mayfield.
That's right, now that you mention it. But I called in about Cignetti and myself. Listen, let me send a message up to him, if you don't mind using your platform there.
Okay.
Hey, Foe, listen, if you go shoot across the bow of the SEC aircraft carrier, don't use a freaking pop gun, you idiot. And come with something that's got some substance to it besides your little schedule. You know what? Your most famous days was when you was with them serving as recruiting coordinator at Alabama. So you need to remember that. And I said something to Barry and Coach this morning, why, that, you know, it's a PR thing going on right now. They're in their media days. We've had ours, nine games. They're going to say that. But all it is a bunch of underlings that have talking points to try to make up some kind of publicity blitz to gain equal footing with the SEC. And I know you got to go, but
I just think it's funny that we were at SEC Media Days last week, right? And the entire time we talked about this team, that team in the SEC, SEC this, SEC that. Well, we get to Big Ten and ACC Media Days this week, and the first thing that is out of everybody's mouth is, hey, have you heard about the SEC? Hey, you know this stat about the SEC? It's like,
bingo.
Y'all, quit. It's like, if we're going to live in your head, at least start paying us rent.
Yeah, that's the truth. And look, it wouldn't hurt to come with a little bit of accuracy.
That's true. I mean, these are all Rhett Lashley's comments. Yeah, six SEC teams have won the SEC championship since 1964. Keep in mind that the SEC was 10 teams up until very, very recently. Then it was 12, then it was 14, and it's just recently gone up to 16. But, I mean, 6 out of 10 SEC teams, 6 out of 12 SEC teams before Alabama started and Georgia started really taking over the scene here in the 2010s.
Great point. I think
that's pretty balanced.
So good. That's numbers, baby. And you got to pay attention to them. They don't lie.
They don't. Numbers don't lie. Men lie, women lie, stats don't.
That's right. Thank you, Wyatt.
Appreciate you, Tom. That's Tom helping us out there. Coming back on the other side, we'll be joined by Gary Harris and Matt Coulter talking a little NASCAR right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to secure...
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Show right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Let's go ahead and bring the gentlemen who know a lot more about NASCAR than I do, Gary Harris and Matt Coulter. Let's bring them both on the air here. Guys, how you guys doing today?
Doing great. I'm sitting down here in beautiful Gulf Shores, Alabama, literally right on the beach. I mean, I walk out my back door and I'm on the beach. So, but let me preface my comments by saying I had to join the segment because I could not let Matt come in here and take a victory lap without me. And sometimes, Wyatt, in sports, you win a game. Sometimes the other team loses the game. That's what happened to me last week. I had all the momentum in the world coming off back-to-back after being down 4-0. It was 4-2. I had a chance to close it to 4-3. And for some reason, I came out instead of just running the ball, grinding it down, I came out and threw a trick play Hail Mary on the first play of the game, and Matt brought it back for a pick six, and now it's 5-2 instead of 4-3. The chalk was Denny Hamlin all the way. There was no other metric that said don't pick Denny Hamlin, and I did not pick him. I went with Chase Elliott, and now I'm down 5-2, and he gets the first pick at Indy, and I know where he's going to go with this, so I'm probably going to be down 6-2. So why, yeah. You know, when you're down in the standings and you're trying to make a move and you have that daylight, you have that opening and you don't take advantage of it, a good competitor buries you, and that's what's probably going to happen to me now.
Well, dang, man.
Chase Elliott finished third. It wasn't like your pick.
I know, but he didn't win, and he had a good race, but Denny Hamlin was the pick, and when you have the opportunity with the first pick and you fumble the ball, then you get what you deserve. And so now I'm down 5-2. So, but anyway, maybe I'd make a comeback. We're going now. Another reason I want to join the segment too is we're going to Indy, this is a huge race,
and not a road course Indy.
No, a real Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Matt, I'm looking forward to this weekend.
I teed it up for you there. Congratulations.
Hey, I still want to reflect just a little bit. Concrete Mile, that Monster Mile is pretty fun to watch. And it challenges the veteran drivers. I really like the mile. It's concrete. Their trophy's bad. There's a lot of things to like about it. But if you look back, we talked about this last week. You look back at the history of the last 20, 30 winners there, they're all – you know, very savvy veterans. And that may be true this week, huh, Gary?
Yeah, I think so. I think that experience is important. I think that in the big races, Matt and Wyatt, much like in big games, whether it's, you know, the playoffs or you know, a big, big college football game on a Saturday night, it matters. Experience matters. Knowing how to win matters in these type of races, and I think we're going to get a guy that's going to win the race that's either won there before or has a good track record on these type of tracks. You know, experienced guy. I don't think this is going to be somebody coming out of nowhere. I don't.
You guys, I was going to say, you guys know a lot more about NASCAR than me. Tell me a little bit about this track.
Well, Matt, go ahead and get the crash reports. That's why I asked for it.
Yeah. All right, it's probably, I don't think probably, it's the most famous racetrack in the world. The most famous racetrack in America might be Daytona, but it's probably Indianapolis, too. Just, that's the first race I ever paid attention to when I was a little kid because I didn't know about NASCAR. NASCAR wasn't on TV. Anyway, all that being said, it is a 2.5 mile. It's asphalt. It's flat. It's famous. It's the Brickyard. And they run very, very high speeds, but your crew chief's got to set up to where they can use the brakes because these are right degree, turns just about. So it's always been a good race, and NASCAR drivers really like to win at Indy, and we'll see how that works out. The winningest driver there is Jimmy Johnson. He's got 5, and I think Jeff Gordon has 4. I may have that reversed.
Is Jimmy in the field, anyway, Matt? Is Jimmy going to be in the field? Is Jimmy going to be in the field?
You know, I hadn't looked at the full entry list, but I haven't seen it. You know, he's been in a couple races this year.
I know he has. I didn't know if he was going to try to run this one or not. Of course, he's not with a – if he does run it, he's no longer really with a contending team, obviously, but it'd be nice to have him in it. Getting back to Dover, Wyatt and Matt, because Matt's right, that's such a neat track. And you got to give – first of all, give Matt credit for taking the opening and picking Denny. Denny is so good on that track because at the end, he did not have the best tires. And, he kept getting those cautions. And I'll be honest with you. And Chase Briscoe is a good young driver. But Chase Briscoe made a move to win the race. And Denny just outdrove him, Matt. I mean, Chase had the tires.
Yeah.
He had the inside. And I know they wanted to race each other clean because of the, team and manufacturer and all that kind of stuff. But I thought Chase had him beat, didn't you? And then he just said, "Nope, I'm gonna teach you a lesson here, young man."
I think it just shows you again that when it comes to really getting up on the wheel, Denny may be the best one out there. Briscoe ran well, and Briscoe's having a good year, and with fresh tires. Especially since they've gone through a couple of late cautions, I'm thinking he's kind of just dusty. Well, it didn't even happen. Shows you what I know. Shows you, I guess, that I don't have that much confidence in Denny Hamlin, which I do. But I think you said this when we talked Sunday night. Maybe that one incident, that his ability to hold off Briscoe, maybe that means this is his title year.
Yeah, if he doesn't win it this year, I mean, he should. He's got the pedigree, he's got the talent, he's got the team. He should be a NASCAR Series champion, but you just can't keep saying that. At some point, you got to do it. And he is in his 40s, and but I think this year is as good a chance as he's had. And now some of it's luck, but anyway, let's move on. And unfortunately, Matt, you get the first pick this week.
Yeah, and I always and especially, your strategy changes a little bit. You're talking comparing to football, where you go to your running game. Well, man, I'm in my running game with a 5-2 lead. If I try and go deep on some of this stuff, no, I need to just play it close at the vest.
I'm saying it's time to just chew clock here, Matt.
What's that?
I said it's just time to chew clock, run this football, and get this thing and get this win.
I remember last year Gary had like a 4-2 lead, and he ended up with a 7-2 victory because his second half was so strong. So I can't go that conservative, but I am going to bet for chalk, and I'll go Kyle Larson.
I knew that's who you were going to pick because, in all honesty, if I had the first pick, that's where I was going to go. Now I've got to look at guys that I know can win here and have the horsepower to do it. And, L.A., it's a possibility. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that, the Gibbs drivers, the Hendrick drivers, certainly all of them are going to be in contention. But I'm going to go Penske. They have not had a great year, even though all three of Roger's drivers have won a race. They have not been – a dominant team this year. They've had some bad racing luck. But I think among the three, when it just comes to pure speed, it seems like Blaney's had more of it than Logano or Cindric. And I like him here as a if I can't go with Larson, I like Blaney to be in contention. And the thing about racing, Matt, and why we talk about this a lot on the segment is, again, it's just like it is like other sports. You just keep putting yourself in contention enough, and you're going to win. And Blaney's had some race winning cars that either blew up or he got wrecked or he, you know, just for whatever reason he didn't win the race. But he's always got horsepower. This is a horsepower track, and I'm going to take Ryan Blaney.
Hey, Jeff Payton just texted in, as he always does. I appreciate all that you do, Jeff. Jimmy Johnson is not on the Indy.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay. There's hey, Larson. Larson won. He won last year, didn't he, Matt?
Yes, he did. Okay. And
he's going.
But I think actually, if you're taking true talk, it would be Denny Hamlin again. But I just didn't feel like taking him 2 weeks in a row.
How tough is it for somebody to win 2 weeks in a row like that?
Well, you know, it's a good question, Wyatt, because it's so unpredictable. Because earlier this year, Christopher Bell won 3 straight, and that's an accomplishment. But by the way, he hadn't marked since, and he's run okay since then. But I don't know. It's the more you win, it seems like sometimes the upsets, you know, it's kind of waiting around the corner. You just know what's going to happen. But I don't know. That's a good question. You got an answer to that one, Gary? How tough it is to win 2 in a row?
Yeah, it's a great question, Wyatt. You're picking up on this NASCAR really quickly. I think it's a twofold question. I think it's hard to win, period. You got 42 cars out there on average. It's a lot like a golf tournament, man. It's you know, you got to beat a lot of people. So it's hard to win one race. I do think momentum is real. I think if you're a hot driver and you're like, I do think Denny Hamlin's a factor here, and you know, he may wind up winning it. Matt and I may both say, why didn't we ride Denny? But I think it's extremely difficult to have things line up for you in racing, regardless of the track, regardless of the momentum, regardless of it. To do it 2 weeks in a row, as deep as these fields are, is really, really hard. I think it's harder probably to win 2 NASCAR races in a row than it is to win 2 golf tournaments in a row. And that's hard on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it is. How about that Scotty Scheffler? Wow. Not going to go there. Wow. Anyway, that sets us up for Indy. It's at 1 o'clock TNT this Sunday. I'm really enjoying their broadcast. In fact, if they're OTA or cable and not streaming. So anyway, that's a good deal. What are you going to do today on the beach?
Well, I actually, this morning, I woke up, it was overcast, but it's burning off. And so I got in yesterday afternoon and just got settled in and went to eat and went to the grocery store to pick up a few things to have until the weekend when I go back. And so today, because I am literally right on the beach, I let me say this about this little house that Chuck, my friend Chuck Norwood, helped me find down here on West Beach. Matt, you'll appreciate this. Wyatt, you're a little young, but you're from this area, so you'll know what I'm talking about. This is the area. If you come in on 59 at the T and you take the right and you just drive, I'm about 5 miles out, you get past all of the, you know, the surf shops and the restaurants, and you get down here. Now, there's some newer homes, but this little house was built in the 70s. And what's really neat about it is they've kept it looking like the 70s, which I love. It's got paneling down here. It's got a big rock and cedar fireplace. It's got ocean or blue ocean carpet. It's got all of the 70s wall, the crabs on the wall, you know, and the wreaths. And it's this real, you feel like you're kind of, this is probably what it was like in Gulf Shores back in the 70s before it got. So it's not crowded down here. There's very little traffic. And as I said, I literally walk out. There's a deck. I walk down on the deck, and I'm on the beach, man. So I absolutely love it. So I'm going to answer the question. Went around the world to tell you how much I like this little place. I'm going to take my chair and walk right down to the beach and set it up and soak up some rays and probably get in the ocean and try to avoid the hammerheads.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of that one. I'm jealous of that plan right there.
Yeah, I need.
But isn't it neat though? And I really appreciate Wyatt sitting in for me this week. But that because technology is what it is, I got Wi-Fi here. I can just pop my earbuds in and call in and be part of the show. It's pretty neat.
That's awesome.
Sitting out, looking out my window, sitting here, staring at the Gulf, and talking to you guys on the radio.
Well, that's all right. I'll see you in about 4.5 hours.
All right. Yeah, cut. Head on down, Matt. I got an extra bedroom ready to roll for you.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Wyatt.
Appreciate you guys. We appreciate you guys. That's Gary and Matt helping us out there. Coming back on the other side, we'll wrap up the loose ends as we get ready to finish out the first hour of the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
On The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll break it down with him. We'll recap a lot of different things. We're going to get you ready for Alabama Crimson Tide football. At that point, we will be 1 week away from Alabama's first practice. We'll also talk with Josh from College Football Nerds and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sport.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build your own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. available for after hours.
Made fresh when you order. So whatever the size of your appetite,
there's always something delicious waiting for you here at Taco Casa.
Taco Casa, under the biggest cactus in town.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy...
345-1000, Patterson Law Firm. Local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representation when the quality legal services to be performed is greater than quality legal services performed by other lawyers.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another sizzling summer day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today 94, tonight's low 75. Tomorrow a chance of scattered afternoon and evening thunderstorms. The high 92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Said that we can do it. You know I want to do it.
Got just a couple of minutes here as we get ready to wrap up the first hour of The Gary Harris Show. Big thanks to Matt. Big thanks to Gary for coming in and filling in or helping us out. Talk a little bit of NASCAR here. Big thanks to Tom. Big thanks to Philip for helping us out here. During the first hour, talking about the Kurt Cignetti comments that he had about the SEC and his scheduling philosophy. If you missed it, Kurt Cignetti said that in defense of canceling a home or a non-conference matchup with Virginia this upcoming season, he said, we're just adopting an SEC scheduling philosophy. Reed, I don't think I asked you your thoughts on this comment here.
I just think it's just, I don't know, I think it's just so wild because, I don't know, I take heavily into strength of schedule, at least when it comes to, like, postseason. And, like, no shame toward Virginia, but, like, when you look at, like, you were naming earlier, like, these SEC non-conference Power 5 teams that they're playing, like Bama, Florida State, the home-away game with Wisconsin, like, so on and so on, it just, like, I don't know, I just feel like that was just, like you said, just... shade just to throw shade at the SEC.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you're scheduling home and homes with marquee opponents, right? Think about last season. Alabama went to Wisconsin. Texas went to Michigan. Texas is going back to Midwest country to play Ohio State this season in a rematch of last year's college football playoff semifinal. Michigan's going to play Oklahoma this season. Clemson gets two SEC squads in LSU in week one and South Carolina at the end of the regular season. I mean, when I look at this schedule for Indiana, I say this is not a schedule I would be proud of to tout my team playing, especially with the playoff committee allegedly starting to include a little bit more strength of schedule conversation in their argument here, strength of record conversation in their argument for who should or should not make the college football playoffs. Now, this is not a schedule that I would be proud of. And I understand, again, the Big Ten versus the SEC, that's a whole big, that's a whole big giant conversation here when you look at this side of things. But I mean, this is not a good schedule. At least this season, they're playing two ranked opponents. One of them's going to come in October. One's going to come in November. At least. This is based on preseason polls. I imagine Oregon and Penn State are the only two guaranteed to be ranked. I could see it being Illinois. Iowa, again, one of those fringe top 25 teams. It seems like they're always hanging around number 22, number 20. Never really make it up. Never really make it higher than number 17. But I just look at the schedule and I say, man, this is ugly. This is not a good schedule here. And maybe it is just an SEC bias here on my side of things here, but I don't know. That's going to do it for us on the first hour of the Gary Harris Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here for the second hour of the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Phillies are still alone in first in the NL East, still a half game over the Mets. After beating Boston 4-1, Kyle Schwarber with his 33rd homer, a win, a complete game for Christopher Sanchez, who's now 9-2. The Mets won at home against the Angels 3-2. The Yankees won 5-4 at Toronto on a solo homer in the top of the ninth from Ben Rice. Miami held on to beat San Diego 4-3. San Francisco ended a six-game losing streak with a 9-0 victory at Atlanta. Pittsburgh beat Detroit 8-5. The Tigers have lost 8 of 9. The Cubs and Brewers are tied for the best record in baseball and tied atop the NL Central. Cubs beat Kansas City 6-0. Winner Matthew Boyd 11-3. Milwaukee's 11-game winning streak is over. Seattle beat them.
Or if you want to join the conversation right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Now, this hour is West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. ABC 3340 Chief Meteorologist James Spann says it'll be another scorching afternoon today.
The higher heat indices will be over the western side of the state. That's a heat advisory. And again, that's where the heat index could hit 105.
Take adequate precautions to reduce heat stress. A fourth man, Timothy St. John, has been arrested in that child exploitation case in Bibb County. He also faces bestiality and animal cruelty charges. Walker County Sheriff Nick Smith requesting a fine instead of jail time for hiring uncertified deputies. Smith is running for re-election. Don't buy your new or pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from anywhere other than Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Our local team provides a five-star buying experience and five-star service. Over 100 new
205-345-1000 Patterson Law Firm. Local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representations made that quality legal services to be performed is greater than quality legal services performed by other lawyers.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another sizzling summer day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today 94, tonight's low 75. Tomorrow a chance of scattered afternoon and evening thunderstorms. The high 92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 89 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Crimson Tide lives right here.
Down to the pylon. Touchdown, Alabama.
On Tide 100.9.
Let's go ahead and jump out on the Storage Center hotlines. Let's talk with Jeff in Tennessee. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm not too bad. Just doing the football. Talking to you, can't wait to travel all these great stadiums. Hope you feel the same way about basketball. But what I wanted to say is I was looking at stuff this morning. There's a kid up here that plays in the town I'm at. He's in a private school, Providence Christian. Well, again, they call it PCA, but Providence Christian. He's a 6'8 kid, Chris. His name's Chris Washington Jr. He's a part of the 26 class. He plays the 3 small four. He's a 6'8 guy. He's got his knees narrowed down to 7 schools. Of Alabama and Auburn are on the list. Tennessee, I'm trying to think, I know Florida A&M was on that list. Cincinnati and some other ones, but he's going to take his first visit to Alabama. I think the first week of September. I can't remember. They said the dates, but I can't remember the dates. But
yeah, it's September 6th.
He's from Florida originally, so Florida A&M is one of the schools he's down to. But what I was going to say is, last year he came up here to play last year. The team, they won the state, their division. We have 2 divisions in Tennessee. We have our public and private are split. We have a public school division, a private school division. So they were there, a private school, and his team won the state last year in their class. So he's a pretty good ball player. He went to some camps, and the guys were saying the article I read said he was really impressive at the camp. So I'm sure he'll be. I'm sure people, fans, will want to see him when he does come up there. They had a really good team last year, and they should be good again this year. But as far as football goes, the things that aggravate me about football, and I like football, don't get me wrong, I've covered high school athletics for over 25 years.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that aggravates me about football is, number one, the countdowns. Or whatever. And number two thing is, when the season starts going, especially high school up here, college is just as bad. But when the season is going like here in Tennessee, you have 11 weeks to play 10. Everybody gets a week off. And most of the schools, when they have fall breaks, when they don't play, that's the day that week they're off. So what people do up here, I've got a boss that does it same way some other people do it. It'll be like week 3 or 4, and they'll say, it'll be going into week 4 or something. I say, oh my gosh, it's already week 4 of the season. I can't believe it's gone by so fast. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't get that. I mean, no other sport does that. We don't hear about basketball. Golly, it's already February, or golly, it's already. We don't hear nothing about hoops like that. I mean, up here in Tennessee, November, December, that basketball might well not even exist. They might as well just start. And a guy said years ago, we have like 3 or 4 stations in Nashville. I live about 30 minutes from Nashville, and they have sports talk stations. And this guy got on the show one day. It's been several years ago. I was riding the car going somewhere in town here. And he said these exact words. He said, when college football ends, I go through withdrawals. He said, when college basketball ends, it don't affect me, he said. So when I heard that, I either turned the station or I clicked off. You have got to be kidding. I couldn't believe somebody would say that.
That's pitiful. I mean, especially with what the SEC, again, if it's an SEC.
It's not SEC. He's just talking about.
Oh, he's just talking nationally.
He wasn't talking about SEC. He just said, when college football ends, I go through withdrawals. When college basketball ends, it don't affect me. Is what he basically said.
College basketball. I mean, I am the biggest college football fan that I can possibly be. Right. I'm up until 2 a.m. most Saturdays anyway. So I'm out there watching. You know, I'm watching Hawaii and Fresno State at 2 o'clock in the morning. Like, that's how much I love college football. There is nothing better. There is nothing better in this country than a 2 o'clock. You know. Than a 10 p.m. tip off between, you know, 2 big sky teams. You know, I love college basketball almost as much as I love college football. It's ridiculous to say, oh, well, college football, when college football ends, I go through withdrawals. When college basketball ends, it doesn't affect me. No, they're both incredible sports, and they're both better than the product that you get at the professional level. They're so much more entertaining than what you get in the NBA and the NFL.
Yeah. What I was going to say, did you see, too, I was listening to look at a website today. Have you seen the website? It's called Sportico. You know what that is?
Sportico. I have heard of not.
It? Well, there's a guy that wrote an article about this revenue sharing of the schools. So they've decided now, over 300 of them have decided to opt in. These schools, okay? So all the schools that play FBS football are opting in, like the smaller kind and everything. So they had schools was listed, there's about a little over 50 of them that are not opting in. Now, two of the leagues that aren't opting in are the Ivy League and the Patriot League. They're not opting in the revenue sharing. And one of them up here, it's in Nashville. They're in the Ohio Valley Conference. There's 11 schools in that conference, actually, but not all of them play football. Some of them don't have football. There's 11 of them. Okay, Tennessee State, they're not going to opt in to the revenue sharing. They're not going to opt in there. There were several other conferences too. Like I know the Southern Conference had a couple of teams. I think the military, like the VMI and Citadel.
Yeah, your military academies did not opt in.
The military, they say the military academies. This guy that wrote the article, he said they can't do it.
Yeah.
They're obligated military. If they can't opt in, they can't do it. They said. Like the armies, and all the airport, and all that.
Yeah, they can't. They're not able to opt in.
Yeah, they can't do it. There was about fifty some odd schools that aren't opt in this year to the revenue sharing. And I don't know about football because, like I said, not every school really has football. But I think their other sports going to hurt. Of course, the same school I'm talking about. Of Tennessee State, the next 4 years in football, they're going to play in football. They're going to play like Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're playing Tennessee, and they're going to play Middle Tennessee and somebody. They're playing like four bigger schools that from 2026 to 2029. They're going to play. That's going to be their one big money. And they've talked about the game in 2027 when they play Tennessee. They've talked about moving when the Titan Stadium gets finished. They thought mm-hmm. they were, and I don't know if you heard about this. It's been about a week or so ago up here. They were, of course, they're working on the Titan Stadium.
Oh, I heard about them pausing construction because they found something. They found
they found the nukes. They found nukes. So they've got rewarded, but yeah, they stopped for about 4 or 5 days. And yesterday they started back construction. They started running back to doing everything. About 4 or 5 days they stopped because they was working to the authorities and things to see who had done it. Of course, they ain't got nobody. They don't know who done it. But they've offered a big-time reward for whoever they can find the person to bring it in. But, yeah, they found on the construction site, they said. But, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, when that guy said that, I was like, you have got to be – and I had a boss like that didn't like a certain sport in high school. And I don't get it. I was like, if you're going to be a sports writer and you don't like certain sports, what are you doing it for? I mean, it don't make no sense
It's your job to cover sports. I mean, it's my job.
This guy was doing it. It's his job to cover, and he don't want to do that. But he didn't really like it, he said. But whatever, it's your job. You don't want to cover. I mean, I don't get it.
It's your job. I mean, I say this as somebody who has – I've worked in fast food, right? I've worked outside in the heat. I've worked maintenance, and I've worked, and I've worked cleaning condos. All right, this is the best job that I've had because I get to sit there and watch sports for a living.
You mean you can come over and clean my house today? Come on up.
And look, my prices were real expensive because I was cleaning down at the beach in Gulf Shores. But
if you clean down there, you gonna clean up down there.
I tell you what,
those beaches down there are better. Are better or just about equal to the ones in Florida. I can tell you that
they're nice, but
I mean as far as pretty and not and clean. I mean kept
clean. Oh, yeah.
I mean clean now. Them things was. I mean, it's been several years gone with that, but them beaches were like clean as a. I couldn't believe how clean them beaches were.
But I mean, I've worked fast food. I've worked maintenance. I've worked outside in the heat. I've been a car mechanic. Now my job is to sit here and go to some of the best college environments in football, basketball, baseball, and softball, and I get to come talk about it on the air, and I get to write about it.
I've worked a lot worse jobs.
I will happily watch because I'm not even a big baseball fan, right? Like, just baseball's not my sport. I understand that, and I'm okay with that. But if it's my job to cover baseball, guess what? I'm going to cover baseball. I'm going to watch baseball. I'm going to understand baseball. It may not be my favorite sport, but it's my job to do it. So guess what? I'm going to do it with a smile on my face and a song in my heart because I know what the alternative is. I've worked, again, I've worked fast food chicken. I've worked as a car mechanic. Those are jobs are miserable.
I've had those jobs. I worked one of them when I was in college and I've worked a couple restaurants washing dishes, so I know what you mean. I've done those jobs, so I know what you mean there. I wouldn't want to go back and do that for too long.
No. No. And now I get to watch college football and college basketball and college baseball and softball for a living. Like, I'm happy with where I'm at.
Yeah, one more I want to ask you. There was a guy that he was on Feinbaum yesterday. I don't know if you read his article. I didn't read it, but he was talking about it. He said he was talking about that SEC media days is kind of, worn out or kind of lost. He don't think they should really maybe have it anymore. What do you think about that?
I think they need to have it. I think 4 days is too long. I think I kind of like how the Big Ten's doing it. Big Ten media days is this week. They're doing 3 days. I think 4 days is a lot. 4 days is a lot of content, and that's a very long time. And quite frankly, I kind of agree. SEC Media Days has kind of lost its luster a little bit.
That's what he was talking about. He said you don't really get a whole lot of stuff out of it. Of course, he was talking about when Saban was all stuff, and of course, they were talking about different ones. And one of them said, I can't remember which one it said. Said DeBoer was a nice guy, but I guess he don't really give him a lot of pizzazz or a lot of, good stuff to really write about.
You don't get a lot of content out of coaches at SEC Media Days. I mean, I asked Hugh Freeze. I asked him, he's 0-4 in games against Alabama and Georgia. Why does he think that's going to change this year? And he gave me some very coach speak type of answer. And so you don't get much out of the head coaches. You do get some good content out of the players, though. And the players enjoy it. So if it gives us, if we got to deal with, 30 minutes of a head coach giving us coach speak and no new information, if we have to deal with that so we can get the good content from the players, I'm more than happy with that. I'm okay with it. I think four days is too long, though. I would shorten that.
I wish they would do more for basketball if they're not.
I agree.
More than one day.
I agree.
But enjoy your show. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Jeff. That's Jeff in Tennessee helping us out there. Coming back on the other side, we'll jump back out to the Storage Center hotline as we get you ready for the Miller's Edge right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll break it down with him. We'll recap a lot of different things. We're going to get you ready for Alabama Crimson Tide football. At that point, we will be 1 week away from Alabama's first practice. We'll also talk with Josh from College Football Nerds and a lot more starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Prescription medications for COVID exist. If you test positive this summer, ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com/COVID-19 to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house.
U9. Future-proof your ride. Call CarShield now. 800-923-6829. 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another sizzling summer day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 94. Tonight's low, 75. Tomorrow, a chance of scattered afternoon and evening thunderstorms. The high, 92. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 90 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
A little bit of a tragic story has happened this morning. Former Alabama basketball player Davin Cosby, who played for a season here in Tuscaloosa. He actually helped Alabama to a victory over Ole Miss in the 2023-2024 men's basketball season here. Devin Cosby was involved in a serious accident while traveling to Atlanta. According to Jessica Livingston, who is the mother of a Wake Forest basketball player, Cosby's car was sideswiped by another driver that caused him to hit a semi. Davin's car rolled several times, causing him to be ejected from the vehicle, causing serious head and neck trauma. Davin's mom rushed to be by his side from Virginia. They are asking for donations to help her with medical bills or other expenses that may incur. There is a GoFundMe link here. I have just retweeted it on my personal X account, at FultonW_. Go check that out there. And if you can, in any way possible, please help out Davin Cosby, because this is a rough situation here. I mean, I've been in a car accident. I know it's not fun. I that same Jeep that I referenced earlier in the show, I rolled it. I rolled that thing, and it ended up about 20 feet up in a tree, landed upside down after it rolled up the tree. I'm very blessed to have walked away with no major injuries out of that. Obviously, it sounds like Davin's situation is a lot more serious, but I can relate to being in that car accident. If there's any way you can go help out Davin Cosby and the family there after this tragic car accident, go check that out there. It is Jessica Livingston on X at PunkyB31. That is her Twitter handle. I also just retweeted it on my personal X account at FultonW_. So go check that out there. And if you can, please give to help out the family of Davin Cosby there, or Davin Cosby and his family there, as that is a very scary situation here. Coming back as we get ready to wrap up the loose ends here, first team preseason All-SEC offense here. We talked a lot about it in the first hour. We talked a little bit about it with Drew DeArmond, and then we got on to some other conversations here. First team offense. I think it's no surprise. Lenore Sellers, the quarterback out of South Carolina. I say no surprise. I'm a little surprised. Matter of fact, I don't think probably. I voted Garrett Nussmeier my first team quarterback here in the SEC. Now, Garrett Nussmeier was the second team quarterback. And then third team, I believe I went with DJ Lagway out of Florida. They're giving it to Arch Manning. Until I see it, I've got to see it, right? I got to see some form of promise here before I'm willing to just hand it to Arch Manning. I think Arch Manning probably does end up second or third team All-SEC quarterback at the end of the regular season. But to give it to him right here out the gate, when you've seen, what, four games total probably of reps from Arch, right? Because he had some of the game against UTSA, all of the game against Mississippi State there, all of the game against ULM. So it's just, I don't know. I got to see it from Arch before I just am willing to hand it off to him like that. Running back position, Trey Wisner out of Texas, Le'Veon Moss out of Texas A&M, Ryan Williams out of the University of Alabama, Cam Coleman out of Auburn, Eli Stowers, the tight end out of Vanderbilt. Along the offensive line, you've got Caden Proctor from Alabama, Caden Green from Missouri, DJ Campbell from Texas, Austin Barber from Florida, and the center position, which I think is the position I take the most issues with, Jake Slaughter out of Florida. No disrespect to Jake Slaughter. And he's got the size you want from a prototypical center. So I understand kind of why he got that nod, but there wasn't a better center in the country than Parker Brailsford last year. There was not a better center in the country than Alabama's Parker Brailsford last year. I talked with NFL scouts during their time in the draft process. Of course, I went down to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, so I got to talk with them a lot down there as well. They said if Parker Brailsford had entered the draft, he would have been the number one center on the board this past NFL draft. Number one guy. He's a little undersized, yes, but I think that leads to a lot of Jason Kelce comparisons when you look at a guy like Parker Brailsford. And he showed last year, right? He dominated at Washington to the point that he was a Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year Award finalist. Alabama safety Caleb Downs ended up winning that award. And then he comes in last season, and the big conversation around him once he did re-enter the lineup after spring ball was, hey, how is he going to handle SEC competition, right? He's a little bit of a smaller guy. Yeah, he dominated Pac-12, and he dominated, you know, he dominated Texas in the Sugar Bowl. So that was a point for Parker Brailsford, but then he got bullied against Michigan, right? And so the conversation was, can he handle SEC competition? Well, that answer was a resounding yes. Parker Brailsford had no problems last year handling SEC pass rushers, whether that be a stunt or an edge rusher lining up in the middle of the defense or a defensive tackle as well. He was able to handle the run game. I want to say he graded out as the second best run blocker last season for Alabama behind Tyler Booker. How much of that was he got the help from Tyler Booker? I don't know. And we'll see that this season. But Reed, I look at Parker Brailsford, and again, no disrespect to Jake Slaughter, who, for the record, I think the two best centers in the country sit in the SEC. I think it's Jake Slaughter and Parker Brailsford. But to me, Reed, it's got to be Brailsford as your number one guy.
I think I'm kind of going the same way as you, but also, like, it's just, you know, like you said, I think they are the two best centers.
Yeah.
But just, like, when I think of any position, and, like, at least, like, awards like this, of course it's preseason, but, like...
I'm saying it's preseason. It's a lot of us media guys who don't pay attention to other teams other than the one we cover.
Yeah, and so, but just, like, whenever I see second team, I'm like, dang, they're not even, like, the best of their, like, conference.
Yeah.
Would they be the best, like, in the nation, you know? And, like you said, not to, like, you know, deteriorate from Jake Swatter at all, but just, like, to perception, like, I see Brailsford as one of, if not the best... center in the country, and for him to get second team, it kind of like, it just doesn't rub me right, you know?
Yeah, it definitely rubs me the wrong way, but regardless though, Parker Brailsford, you got 12 games to prove that you should be the first team all SEC and the one that matters and the one after the season. So you've got 12 games to prove that you're the best center in the country. And if he does that, I imagine he's going to walk away with the Remington Award and potentially be a top 50 draft pick in next year's NFL draft. That's going to do it for us today here on the Gary Harris Show. Coming up next, Christian Miller, 11-1. I'll jump back on the air from 1 to 2 p.m. Ryan Fowler takes it home from 2 to 6. And Stingray wraps it up from 6 to 7 right here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Thank you for listening.